And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. It is time for Secrets, my favorite program of the month. We are up to volume number 357. I've got a few prayer requests to get into before we dive into our Secrets program. There is an update on Lorraine. She had surgery for cancer on the 20th of May and saw an oncologist on the 12th of June. Please hold Lorraine. I mentioned her previously, this lovely widow lady that's in her late 70s. Hold her up in prayer for continued healing. Got one from my buddy Khalil out in California. He said, hope and prayers for you all, and thanks always for your thoughts and prayers. He is asking for a healing and a financial blessing for the children and babies of Matthew and Madison Lawson. The children are battling RSV, pneumonia, and seizures. The kids are currently in the hospital. Please hold Matthew and Madison up in your prayers. Nothing more precious than our babies. And I would like to ask everyone to hold Venezuela, the nation, up in your prayers. I've seen the video from the devastating twin earthquakes that they suffered through. It was unbelievable. I saw in the news that a dog was rescued after 6 days being trapped, and she was so excited she started licking the face of the rescuer. There was an 18-day-old baby with his mother that were pulled from a collapsed high-rise building. They were trapped for more than 32 hours. There was a mother and her 9-month-old baby pulled from the rubble with just minor injuries. But it is such devastation. Please hold the people of Venezuela up in your prayers. And as always, Sandra and I want to thank you for your continued prayers and support of our ministry. Got a letter from John, an email. And it was very touching. John, thank you for taking the time to write. He said, I've been meaning to write for some time, but have finally gotten around to it. He thanked us for continuing the legacy of Tex. He said, at age 56, Tex was a father figure to me, and his vocal mannerisms reminded me of my father. His passing in 2019 was devastating, but you taking over was a huge relief and godsend. Over the years since you've been hosting Power Prophecy, I've come to feel that I may have lost a father figure, but have gained a brother figure in yourself. No matter how awful I may feel, tuning into your show always makes me feel better. Your down-home, respectful approach to interviewing is like sitting in the backyard with family and friends on a nice spring evening. Your work is so important and meaningful. I wish you and Sandra well and hope this email lets you know how much you're appreciated. Jack, thank you for those kind words. I've received a number of letters, and they're such a blessing. I knew that taking this position behind the microphone after Tex handed it to me was a massive undertaking, a big responsibility. I've continued to try to put in the work to make it worthwhile for you to tune in, to continue to support our ministry. And every now and then I have stumbled, and I have not made everybody happy. That I come to expect that. I told Tex that being a football official for 30 years kind of put me in a position to where I will take the criticism, and I know that some of the early programs were not the greatest, But I've strived to be better and to provide a better format for the programs, topics. But I accept the criticism, and I take it to heart, and I try to implement the suggestions that are offered. And after last week's program on systemic racism in America, I was hoping, number one, to get people to think and to ponder why there's such a racial divide in this nation. I had one person call me this week and say that they couldn't listen to the whole program. It was just too depressing. Hopefully they'll go back and they'll listen to it. Sandra listened to it and told me it was a great show, and she thanked me for taking the time to do it. I've said it since I took over for Tex that God is no respecter of persons. When we get to heaven, there won't be any skin color. There will be no pigmentation. You will either be Christ or not. And if you're not, you won't be in heaven. You will come before the throne, but you won't stay. And we need to have respect for each other, and that seems to be lacking. And I've got some articles this week that reinforce the fact that we have lost touch with respecting our neighbors, loving them as we love ourselves. And now that July is here, and it's the 4th of July weekend, a number of you are disgruntled with the goings-on in the White House. I'm not happy either. But I lay the blame more on Congress. Our elected representatives are failing us on a daily basis. There is too much grandstanding, too much seeking the spotlight instead of doing the job that they were duly elected to do. Can't do anything about it except boot them out of office the next time they run. You can write to them and voice your displeasure, and I hope you will. But there are too many shenanigans going on in Congress, the bureaucracies that they have created, that they have allowed to flourish, instead of doing the job that they were put there to do. But July is here. It is the start of the dog days of summer. And it is the end of one of the most disgusting months on our calendar, June. June is, well, it's been hijacked by the sodomites. They have a whole month to celebrate their lewd and lascivious lifestyles. And so I've got a couple things here that deal with this. There was a judge in Waco. She refused to perform same-sex weddings. And what did they do? Well, they targeted her. Of course they did. She has won a lawsuit. She received $10,000 in damages, $630,000 in attorney's fees, and she is no longer facing discipline. Her name is Diane Hensley, a Christian. She had recused herself from performing these weddings. She made a list of others who were willing to perform same-sex weddings. But that wasn't enough. The State Commission on Judicial Conduct issued her a public warning and claimed she violated the Texas Code of Judicial Conduct. She contended that her religious liberty under the Texas Religious Freedom Restoration Act was violated. The Supreme Court ruled in a different case that State Commission on Judicial Conduct has no authority under state law to discipline judges who refuse to perform same-sex weddings for moral or religious reasons. And the case was thrown out, and she was awarded damages. Good for her. There was a big hubbub with the, of all places, San Francisco Giants. Yes, the gay capital of America at one time. The baseball players for the Giants refused to be happy wearing Pride Night baseball caps. And a number of them put Bible verses on their caps. And the Major League Commissioner said he was going to fine these guys for violating the dress code. Until some politicians, I think Josh Hawley might have been one, anytime they threaten the antitrust that Major League Baseball, NFL, they all hide behind, revoking it, well, it gets the attention of the commissioners. And so the commissioner of baseball said, no, we're not going to punish these players. But it wasn't just in San Francisco. A minor league baseball team called the York Revolution. The majority of their players were unwilling to support sodomy and debauchery. They were scheduled to wear Pride Night jerseys. Fewer than 9 of the 28 players were willing to take part. Gotta have 9 to play. The team ultimately forfeited. Good on these young men for standing firm on their beliefs, not kowtowing to this debauched agenda. Now, the president and general manager, Ben Shipley, was not pleased. He was disappointed after the team meeting because they refused to move. He said, quote, I'm disappointed that we're at this point. I think tolerance is not acceptance. I was just asking for tolerance from the team. Close quote. That's always been the agenda, tolerance. Love is love, right? That was the mantra before Obergefell. And they legalized, through the Supreme Court, issued their proclamation and legalized same-sex marriage. Legislating from the bench. The organization criticized the players for taking their stand. They put distance between themselves and the players, saying they would donate money to the Rainbow Rose Center, which is an LGBT community group. This was heroic action on the part of these players. Athletes and fans alike are tired of activism seeping into the game. These men grind. They have worked to try to perfect their performance. They train, and to be treated as puppets for a gay agenda didn't sit well with them. Good on them. Came across a piece in the Patriot Post written by Tony Perkins. It's an opinion piece, but it's a good piece. Tony writes that according to Gallup's latest annual survey, public support for same-sex marriage, the morality of homosexual conduct, and transgenderism has declined significantly. The same-sex marriage portion has fallen 6 percentage points from its high point in 2022-2023. Morally acceptable behavior for same-sex individuals has dropped to 62%, its lowest level since 2016. That was the year after the Supreme Court legislated from the bench in Obergefell versus Hodges. But the percentage of Americans who view transgenderism as morally accepted has declined 8 percentage points since 2021 and stands at just 38%. Why? Because Americans are reconsidering what we've been told now that we've lived with the results. We have seen the impact it has had on our schools, our laws, our institutions, and ultimately the effect on the lives of the next generation. The promise of marriage equality was about allowing committed same-sex couples to formalize their relationships. We were assured that nothing else would change, but that's not what happened. I've been saying it since the Supreme Court legislated. It was just the first act, and we've witnessed it in mass. We've witnessed the consequences of this legislation from the Supreme Court. Parades in major cities allow public nudity and sexually explicit displays in full view of families and children. Morally reprehensible actions. Major corporations, universities, and professional sports organizations have pressured employees and athletes to affirm an ever-expanding list of sexual identities. But even more so, the T in the LGBT acronym was used to justify policies that would have been unimaginable a decade ago. We have watched biological men enter girls' locker rooms, compete in girls' sports, gain access to spaces that have long been reserved for women only. And now millions of Americans are putting the pieces of this jigsaw puzzle together. They are seeing the fruit of abandoning God's design for marriage, family, and men and women. If you look at the polls, Americans have rendered their own verdict. Well, I want to move on. There is a movie that has been produced. I think Armie Hammer is the lead character. It's called Citizen Vigilante, or Vigilante, whatever you want to call it. Germany banned this movie, would not give it a rating, so it would never be shown in Germany. Couldn't find it anywhere. Well, Elon Musk posted it on Twitter for 2 days so people could watch it free. Citizen Vigilante is the number one movie on Amazon Prime, number two on Apple. So people are watching this movie. But on top of that, you know, and I remember back in the 70s, wasn't very good production, but Charles Bronson had the Death Wish movies where he was a citizen vigilante. So this is nothing new, but the lawmakers and public officials want to put the kibosh on vigilantism. There needs to be a investigation, a trial, exoneration or conviction before anything happens. But in Mexico, this was an article in Breitbart. These people in Mexico are rallying around a vigilante who is taken to the streets, hunting down thieves and leaving them taped up for the authorities. The locals are calling him the Batman of Lagos de Moreno. In a matter of days, this guy has managed to subdue and apprehend 5 motorcycle thieves and tied them up to light poles for locals to find the next morning. On June 12th, authorities found one man tied up to a light pole with the word rata, or thief, written on his forehead with a black marker, and next to him was a motorcycle that had previously been reported stolen. In following days, authorities found 4 more men tied up in similar scenarios. Instead of arresting and prosecuting these alleged thieves, the authorities are considering them victims of assault and kidnapping and have started a manhunt in an attempt to find this unknown vigilante. Now, Mexico is continuing to deal with high levels of violent crime because of these terrorist drug cartels. Instead of going after the criminals, they are mollycoddling because a vigilante is accused of kidnapping and assault for tying them up. The inmates are running the asylum. And until that changes, nothing is going to get better. Here's another story. We might as well hit the crime blotter today. An 18-year-old named Leota Bush allegedly tried to rob a work crew in the Highland Heights neighborhood. He used a BB gun that looked like a semi-automatic pistol. He apparently walked up to the house and asked for a cigarette lighter. When he didn't get one, he left. Allegedly, he came back to the construction site and entered the home. He then pointed this pistol at a worker and demanded the man's keys. Now, the man that he pointed this weapon at was the homeowner working on his house. The homeowner said he spoke to another coworker in Spanish, alerting him what was going on. When Bush aimed the handgun at the man's head, demanding he hand over his belongings, the victim turned around, grabbed the gun, threw it into the front yard, and both men wrestled Bush to the ground and tied him to the front railing of the property with a nylon strap and called police. 18-year-old punk thought he was going to get away with something, and he ended up tied up to the railing on the porch. That is hilarious. But that's the sad state of affairs in this country. Why wasn't he taught right from wrong? Why wasn't he taught a work ethic? Instead of robbing the guy, he could have come up and said, "Are you looking for more help? I would love to get into the construction business." "Oh, but no, I don't want to work for a living. I want something for nothing." That's why they vote socialist in New York. That's why they voted socialist in Colorado. They think that the government owes them everything that they deserve. And when communism finally takes hold, they're going to find out. Well, they're finding out in New York City right now, because Mom Donnie promised all these free things. But today, because of the record heat that's going on in the Northeast, he told all New York City residents to turn their thermostats up because the energy grid can't handle the demand. And the backlash was intense and immediately. Many of them said, "Show us your thermostat. Prove to us that you're at 78 degrees. They're sweltering up there. But that's communism. Walter Hostin is a neighbor. He said the idea of tying the suspect up to the front porch was impressive. Police claimed that Bush admitted he pulled a BB gun on the owner, claiming it was a prank. The police didn't agree. They took him into custody and charged him with armed robbery and carrying an imitation firearm. Young punk dealing with the reality of being a terrible criminal. Get a job, young man. Atone for your sins. Work for a living. Who knows, if you get into construction, maybe one day you can be a contractor, pulling in six figures, not having to work all that hard. You can be a plumber, an electrician, an automotive mechanic. You can make good money doing those, but you have to apply yourself. That's the American dream. Don't depend on the government to take care of you. Go out, earn your keep, be a good citizen. Continuing with the blotter, let's go to Boston. Two young siblings were running a lemonade stand in South Boston. They were robbed at gunpoint. The residents are shaken to the core, and they're very worried now about public safety in Boston. The city leaders insist it is among the safest in the nation. But a brother and sister with their father were running a lemonade stand. Two kids came up, demanded their money. One of them flashed a gun. $50 in cash was snagged. And there is surveillance images of the suspects. And authorities are asking for help identifying these two punks. One appears to be a dark-skinned male, about 14 years old. The other is a light-skinned male, maybe 11. Now, the siblings have said they are going to reopen their stand. They are not going to allow these punks to scare them off. But the city leaders need to step up. Instead of reducing the police and trying to think that it's okay to have all these social programs, it's time to start incarcerating these punks. Maybe in prison they'll learn a trade. They'll pay restitution, and they'll become productive members of society. Who knows? Well, I want to go across the pond to Britain. This is something that's going on. And if you're paying attention, you know how bad it is in England if you criticize posting anything on social media or say something out loud that is against minorities or Muslims. There was a police officer He was banned from serving in his position after he asked questions about Islam. Now, he has since reached a settlement with the police force that banned him. I guess fired him. His name is Luke Sammons. There was an October 2024 training session, and he said, quote, the whole day was pretty much about Islam. At one point, the trainers walked up and down the room for several minutes saying, Islam is a religion of peace, over and over again. It was bizarre. Close quote. It was indoctrination is what it was. Well, Mr. Sammons was invited to a discussion by a Muslim sergeant over a cup of coffee. Mr. Sammons had brought a copy of Answering Jihad, A Better Way Forward by Nabil Qureshi, an ex-Muslim turned Christian. He brought it to work with him. Two officers photographed the book, and the next day he was fired. The inspector that pulled him aside said, quote, I don't like your beliefs, which indicates that she was meaning my Christian beliefs, which is discrimination towards me and my faith, which in itself is gross misconduct. He said, to me, it kind of stopped being a training course and became more of something like indoctrination. Of course it was. Mr. Salmons continues, there is a real fear in the police about speaking out, about anything especially to do with minorities and certainly about Islam. There's certainly a fear within the police, within the institutions, in the whole of the UK. So I was told to shut up and apologize. I did that. I waited, and the investigation continued. Close quote. Now, eventually, he had to get another job. In spite of this settlement, the police in North Yorkshire have never apologized or offered his job back, letting the Muslims control popular opinion. Oh, my goodness, it is bad. I want to finish the blotter with this one. In Detroit, a couple sisters argued after they received an incorrect order at a chain food place. They went behind the counter and attacked the worker. Then they chased the worker throughout the restaurant. Then the worker started throwing items at them in defense. The sisters allegedly picked up a knife that they say was thrown at them, and they stabbed the worker in the stomach. They tried to throw hot oil on the worker and said, I'm going to kill you. The worker was hospitalized. The sisters drove away, but they were later arrested, charged with intent to murder, assault with intent to do great bodily harm, and assault with a dangerous weapon. For an error with their food. Is that what America has become? I see fights all the time on social media. There was one at Chipotle in Maryland. Bunch of thugs throwing chairs. Why? I used to work in food service. And if there was a problem with an order, I fixed it. But now the belligerence seems to be on both sides of the counter. You know, we were told the customer's always right. That's not a true statement, but that's what we were trained in back in my day, back in the 80s. The customer is always right. So if something was wrong, you fixed it because you wanted them to come back. At least the owner did. Now, if it's wrong, fights break out. They want to go around the counter and start beating you up. There is a lack of human respect in this nation. Decency and decorum are out the window. And that falls firmly at the feet of parenting. Spare the rod, spoil the child. That's what I was taught growing up. Obviously, we need to reinstill discipline at home, in the school system, and not cover up the dastardly deeds of evildoers. Well, that's going to take care of the first half. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me a little bit of your time. I have to take a brief pause. When I come back, we're going to dive right back into Secrets, volume number 357. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I am here asking for your help once again. We are still needing your help to reprint a number of books. Quite a few of you have stepped up and offered love gifts to help us offset the costs. And for those, Sandra and I are greatly appreciative. But we still need more. So here I am, hat in hand, asking for your help. Printing costs have continued to rise. Cost of paper, all of the above, plus the shipping. With the gas prices and diesel prices especially going through the roof thanks to Trump's misadventure for Israel over in the Middle East, it has affected everything, and I know it's affecting your pocketbook as well as ours. But if you have a little bit that you can help us with, we would greatly appreciate it. We'll get these printed no matter what, but it would help if we had a little bit more financial support from you lovely people. I open the show every week saying, hello, friends, because you are your friends, your family. We love the fact that you continue to pray for us, the fact that you continue to support us. And it means a lot to Sandra and myself. We would not have made it this far without the continued support of those who have believed in this ministry since Tex began it late 80s. I mean, coming up on 40 years? Goodness. And you know, Tex always told me that it was so sad how the founding pastors of ministries, when they retired or passed away, how rapidly those ministries declined and eventually shuttered. And considering that Tex retired in 2018, the fact that eight and a half years later, we're still going, it reaffirms that we are here for a purpose. God wants us to continue. Tex wanted us to continue. And we have. We lost Michelle. And it's been a struggle without having the third member of our team. But we have persevered, overcome, adapted, and continued in this work. And it's nothing that I've done or Sandra has done. It is through your continued financial support. If you can help us a little bit, we would greatly appreciate it. I don't like asking for financial help, but when it becomes necessary, then I will come on and ask you. And knowing the cheerful givers that you are, you will continue to help us out. Thank you so much for your continued prayers and your continued support. If you care to make a donation, you can phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. If you care to make a donation online, you can go to our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. There's a little button there on the main page you can click on. You can select the amount that you can support us with. You put in your name, your address, your charge card information. Make sure you select donations only. Now, if you don't, we will fix that. There's no postage for your love gift. Oh, my. The shopping cart is not 100% user-friendly, but we will adjust it if you skip that part. You hit submit, we'll get it, we'll process it, and we'll send you a thank you letter. We appreciate your help. If you care to make a donation by mail, You can send a check, money order, or cash. Please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy. And you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas. And our zip code is 78669. Thank you so much, and may God richly bless you. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. Today we are covering secrets number 357. These are items that may or may not have shown up in your local news or you have browsed through. A number of these come from emails that friends have sent to me, and I'm obliged and happy to share them with you. The 4th of July has brought out all the crazies, hasn't it? There are homeowners, residents in Massachusetts on an island community. It's Plum Island. They have been threatened by local officials if they choose to display American flags celebrating the 250th anniversary of America. These people could face serious legal and financial penalties. They received formal notice alerting them that the town had identified multiple, quote, devices and materials intended to deter protected shorebirds from using nearby beaches and dunes. In the letter, they cited federal wildlife protections, specifically listed Mylar streamers, flags, and reflective materials as problematic, immediately raising alarms among residents preparing for a large-scale patriotic celebration. Now, after this was made public, town officials tried to distance themselves from the perception they were banning flags. But homeowners continue to see a pattern of state and local authorities using environmental regulations as a pretext to curtail ordinary lawful use of their private property. Now, let's go over that. Private property. You claim you bought it. You claim you own it. But do you really? Do you really own your property in your house? What is the one thing you have to do every year? That's right, pay property taxes. If you do not pay your property taxes, what happens? The government will come in and seize your property. All of it. If it's in the house, it belongs to the government. If you really owned your property, would the government have the ability to come in and take it from you? Sometimes they use what's called eminent domain so that they can put in a road right through your property. They don't care. They claim they give you fair market value for the roadway that they have to buy the piece of land from. And you have no ability to object. Do you really own your home? Let that one sink in. Well, here's another one. Connecticut is inundated with their progressive wing in politics. There is a senator, Chris Murphy, who is proposing to more than triple the national minimum wage. Obviously, Chris Murphy didn't pay attention to what the demon rats in California did when they hiked up the minimum wage to 20 bucks an hour. And they saw a number of employees furloughed, laid off, pink-slipped. They didn't understand how many actually had their hours cut so that the owner could maintain the business. Didn't matter. No, Chris Murphy wants to jump up federal minimum wage from $7.25 to $25 an hour. He calls it the Living Wage for All Act. Isn't that special? Sounds great. Okay, now let me divert for a second. When I was still in high school, I got a part-time job slinging fried chicken. I made $3.35 an hour. It was an entry-level job. It wasn't skilled labor. How skilled do you have to be to follow instructions? You batter the chicken, you flour the chicken, you put it in the fryer, you set a timer, you pull it out, you dump it, and you sell it to the customer. Entry level. That's what minimum wage was supposed to be, not a living wage. You were supposed to have enough gumption to go find a profession, learn, and perform before you start making good money. But these politicians know better. Oh, but Murphy is proud of this fact because they distinguish in this act between large corporations and smaller employers. They know that this is not feasible as a one-size-fits-all bill. Companies with 500 or more employees will be compelled to reach $25 an hour by 2031 or 2032. Murphy said, quote, "It's not like we can't pay a $25 minimum wage. We just choose not to because we've become okay with dozens and dozens of people in this country making hundreds of billions of dollars," close quote. I continually say it, cause and effect. If this bill goes through and gets signed into law, who is going to end up paying the differential between $7.25 and $25? The consumer. There is no businessman who ever started a company doing it as a loss leader. They don't do it to lose money. They do it to make money. But why don't politicians understand that if I pay Johnny, Johnny pays income tax. I match Johnny's income tax as the business owner. Johnny goes out and buys a home, and he pays property taxes, hopefully. All of this is revenue generating for the government. But Murphy seems to think that by mandating everybody pay $25 an hour, that it's a living wage. Such a disconnect in our politicians. Now, smaller businesses with fewer employees don't have to meet the mandate until 2038 or 2039, but the immediate minimum wage will jump to $12 an hour. No ifs, ands, or buts. Murphy also wants to do away with a gradual minimum wage for workers who get tips. Now, when I ran a Pizza Hut, yeah, I told you I was in food service. I managed a Pizza Hut. My waitresses made $2.10 an hour. Their tips had to equal at least $3.35 an hour, or I had to make up the difference. So they were guaranteed $3.35 an hour. But if you did your job right and you waited on a table and they left $5 and you had them for 20 minutes, that covers, that means you made $7.10 that hour instead of $3.35. Almost doubled it. But Murphy wants to do away with that too. Increasing the minimum wage is not going to help. And I wish these politicians would get it through their thick skulls that there are negative ramifications for these idiotic proposals. Speaking of idiotic, let's go to the Obama Presidential Library in Chicago. Whew, there was a big hubbub over this. The library has adopted an entrance policy which undercuts the Democrat Party's most strident talking point, photo identification requirements. They have announced on the website for the Obama Library that visitors who arrive at the site are met with a clear directive: you must show a valid photo ID to enter. It has to be a valid ID. It could be an Illinois driver's license, state ID, city-issued ID. Guardians must be able to provide proof of residency for accompanying children. This is from the father of the DACA Act. Huh. For over a decade, Democrats have insisted that asking for identification at the polling place will disenfranchise minorities and poor, particularly black Americans, who these progressive activists routinely portray as unable to obtain basic documentation. How ironic. You have to have a valid photo ID to enter the Obama Presidential Library, which is located in a deep blue city, in a deep blue state. You would expect that these barriers would have vanished. But no. So what's wrong with forcing people to prove their identity when they vote? Nothing. Polling data shows that the public overwhelmingly reject the Democrat Party's narrative. Harry Enten is a data analyst for CNN. He said polling going back to 2018 shows at least 75% support voter ID. And it's amazing, the numbers. Democrats have a 71% approval for voter ID. Republicans, almost 95%. But it's not just political parties. This spans all the races. That's right. 85% of whites want ID for voting. 82% of the Latinos want ID for voting. And 72% of the blacks want voter ID. This is not a controversial subject to the majority of Americans. Only the elitists and the Democrat and the progressives in the Democrat Party, or the Socialist Party, communist, want to do away with voter ID. Well, we go to this one. Bloomberg newspaper had a feature article entitled, "What Climate Change Costs You at the Checkout." Yep, climate change is affecting you at the checkout at your local grocery store. This tripe from this hack claims that climate change is the reason food prices have gone up. Obviously didn't take biology in high school or college. They are so afraid that CO2, carbon dioxide, is warming the atmosphere and it's going to kill off everything. When photosynthesis, one of the first things I was taught in high school biology, photosynthesis. Humans breathe in oxygen and we emit carbon dioxide. Animals do. The plants, whether they're crops, trees, flowers, grass, any of it, uses that carbon dioxide along with sunshine, and they put off oxygen, self-regenerating. If you think about how God planned all of this out, it just flabbergasts you. I'm constantly amazed when I contemplate, when I stop and think of how subtle things work in unison. And it was by God's design. Isn't that glorious? Things we sometimes don't even contemplate, think about, like photosynthesis. Can't comprehend how God was able to make these trees put off something we can breathe. We put off something that they can breathe. It's amazing. But the climate alarmists want you to freak out because CO2 is up, heat is increasing, we're going to have more hurricanes, we're going to have more tornadoes. No, sorry. People that actually study the climate without the funding that the hacks get will tell you that the carbon dioxide levels that we're experiencing right now are not as high as they have been in the history of Earth. Not by a long shot. And NASA has proven this. They have taken satellite photos of the whole world, and you see a lot more greenery than you did 50 years ago. And a lot of these climate scientists say we are in a cooling period right now. God said we would have seasons. We're going to have seasons. That's climate change to me. But this hack at Bloomberg wrote an entire article trying to scare people into believing that climate change is costing them more at the grocery checkout. Idiotic. And those that continue to buy into this tripe are sorely lost individuals. We need to educate better. We just do. In news of the absurd, the socialist deputy mayor of Paris, Audrey Pulvar, took over social media and she addressed a letter to dear American journalists who have been making fun of Paris because the city doesn't have air conditioning. She wrote, quote, "This is so rich. You bear a significant amount of responsibility for global warming and the consequences we in France are experiencing. Your cities, which are 90% air conditioned, are not unrelated to this." Well, the leader of the EPA, Lee Zeldin, had this response to this idiotic socialist comment.
There's always going to be someone somewhere around the world. They're trying to shame us into turning off our air conditioning. You know, listen, the climate's always been changing. And, you know, for people who want to start digging into the argument that it's changing because of human activity, the idea that some, you know, some grandma right now in Georgia should be, you know, filled with guilt and shame and she should, like, you know, turn off the AC is ridiculous. The amount of activity around the world, when you look at, you know, coal, they use 40% more coal in China than the rest of the world combined. And, you know, we're supposed to be here shutting down our coal plants. We're supposed to be, you know, getting rid of AC. We're, you know, we should go to an electric vehicle mandate and you know, get rid of your gas powered cars, your diesel cars. The way that they want to change human activity as if, like, that individual's, you know, activity is causing it to be hot outside. I would encourage people to just be honest with the debate.
Oh, let's go to this one. Oh, my goodness. Do you think you pay enough for owning your own car? Well, Congress doesn't seem to think so. Now, think about this. You buy a car, you pay sales tax when you get it. Tax, title, and license, right? Then you fill up the tank and you pay tax on the gasoline. If you take a toll road, you pay a tax on that. You have insurance premiums you have to pay every month. Then every year there are registration fees, inspection fees, in some states, property taxes for simply having the privilege to own a vehicle. They pay property tax for that vehicle. Congress, in their infinite wisdom, I hope you understand that's sarcasm, wants to issue a new federal annual vehicle registration fee. They are calling it an EV fee that is aimed at electric and hybrid vehicles. They're not buying gas, so they're not paying a gas tax. Now, recently, Leslie and I went to see grandkids out in Arizona, and I rented a car because they don't live in Phoenix. The car happened to be a hybrid. I had never driven a hybrid before. If I buy another vehicle in my lifetime, it may be a hybrid. It got over 50 miles a gallon. There were times that I'm doing 70 down the interstate, and it's running off the battery. There's no gas being used. Fantastic. I had never driven one, but now I am impressed. I don't want an EV. No. But a hybrid, I would consider. But this has happened before in Virginia, 1997. The residents in Virginia revolted against the personal property tax on cars. Jim Gilmore ran for the governor. He promised that he would phase it out. He was poo-pooed by political experts. He was mocked by editorial boards. The establishment said it would never happen. Well, Gilmore won, and he started phasing it out. But when he left office, 70% of the car tax had been eliminated. Today, only 42% of this tax has been eliminated. This should tell you something. When the government becomes dependent on recurring vehicle taxes, they are difficult to get rid of, and they're likely to expand. 41 states already impose EV registration fees that are exorbitant. Many exceed $250 annually. New Jersey charges $260. But doesn't this fly in the face of when they were pushing these EVs? They were given subsidies, federal and state, given subsidies, enhancements, enticements to get people to buy them. Oh, but now we got to tax them because, well, they're eating up the roadways and they're not paying their fair share, my eye. They already paid sales tax for it. They're paying tax on the electricity when they plug in at night. Goodness. Politicians, about worthless. You know, I heard a joke a number of years ago. Politicians are like diapers. They're usually on your backside and they're full of it. There you go. Politicians telling you how to live. Oh, my. Well, speaking of politicians, here's one. Massachusetts Rep. Yep. Ayanna Pressley. She was questioned about how her jump. They make $170,000 a year in Congress. She was asked how her wealth jumped as much as $8 million when she entered Congress with a negative balance. It was Fox Business reporter Chad Pergram. Her financial disclosure for 2024 indicated a net worth of as much as $8 million due to rental properties in Massachusetts and Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Pergram asked, how did you make all this income from the rental property? She said, sir, I submit my financial disclosure, just like everybody else. There's nothing to see here, thank you. And then she was gone. End of interview. Pressley's husband served time in prison for drug trafficking. He reportedly raked in as much as $1 million in 2024. Pressley also raked in between $250,000 and $500,000 when she sold the Fort Lauderdale rental property in 2024. The property wasn't listed on her 2023, 2022, 2021, 2020, and 2019 financial disclosures. And its purchase was not reported in any of those forms. But isn't it queer how politicians are making $170,000 a year? Now the Speaker of the House makes a little bit more. $170,000 a year. They're involved in insider trading. They write tax code. They know how to hide their money. Criminals. All of them. The whole lot. Criminals. How do you become a millionaire in America? Run to be in the House of Representatives. Run to be in the Senate. Then you got insider knowledge and you can make buku bucks. Then you can come out with idiotic laws that tax the tar out of the peons. Because, well, now I'm above you. I am your potentate and you are my serfs. The disconnect is unbelievable. Good night, nurse. Well, I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.